Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam. On tonight's program, we have a woggy theme, Italian theme going on. Cinzia from Arte Lisbica share with us how Arte Lisbica, the Italian lesbian group, attempts to reach out to the general community. Joining us later in the show are the Flag Sisters, celebrities from the 70s Italy. They'll be performing at the dance. The community is abuzz, waiting eagerly to see their act. This is Kafam and Hugh with you on the Orange Ribbon Joy's Multicultural Program. How are you, Hugh?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty stoked today because we've got Cinzia, Dio Mio, in front of us.
And we've got the Flag Sisters coming on later. How exciting is that?
Yes, welcome to the show, Cinzia.
Thank you. Good to be here. Nice studio.
I think I'm screaming hello.
He didn't have you switched on there.
So that's good. That's okay.
Yeah, I should do that more.
It was a dirty word anyway.
Yeah, he does that to me all the time. Don't worry about it. So, Cinzia, tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
Okay, so every year we have our annual dance, and the annual dance is happening this Saturday night and at the Northcote Town Hall. So we're very privileged to have the Flag Sisters, who you'll be interviewing later on, but also our other performers who we dearly love, Rocco d'Amore, Elvira and Signora Jessica. So we're really looking forward to the night.
So just slowly go through those people again.
Okay. All right.
For us people who are not Italian.
Okay. So, all right. So we've also got our other homegrown, much loved performers, who are Rocco d'Amore, Elvira and Signora Jessica. So that'll just make the night a great night.
Right. And what do they do?
Okay. So they also perform. So Rocco will be doing all singing in Italian, which they range from modern songs to some old tarantellas.
Okay.
And with one act performing with many other people within their show. So there's a variety, a bit of everything.
It's all very exciting. But what's the motivation behind, you know, organizing this party?
It's just a way of celebrating our culture with amongst ourselves primarily, and also to share that with others, be that gay and lesbians from gay and lesbians, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer people from our community, but also our own Italian community and our family and friends and allies. So it's basically open to everybody, and we have a great night, and
tell us a little bit. Now, I'm going to say this word. Yep. I practice it. Archie Lesbica.
Bravo.
Now, what does that mean?
Okay, Archie, like in Archbishop Heiss of the High, Lesbica. So it's a name that we've taken from the Italian lesbian group in Italy. And so that's where it comes from.
So it's a
Heiss of the High Lesbian, yes.
So like an Archbishop of a lesbian.
Yes.
Right.
Or the archetypical or archangel, Jesus Christ in the Bible.
So let me ask you, the organization, is it a lesbian organization just?
Sorry?
You weren't listening to me, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was just
looking at my good looks.
I was just thinking about Jesus Christ. Sorry.
Okay. Is it a lesbian group?
It is a lesbian. Well, we've got Italian-Australian women who identify as lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex or queer.
But on Saturday for your party, it's everybody, isn't it?
It's everybody. You've got the whole spectrum. You've got, you'll have Italian, my parents are coming.
Okay.
So that's a first. So I'm very privileged for that. And we also have children. We have gay men. We have lesbians. Whatever, whoever, tutti frutti, everybody.
Yep. Right. So how did the lesbian organisation start? I mean, what brought it to Australia?
What brought it to Australia? Okay. So I just thought that there was a need, a personal need. And I thought I mustn't be the only one who has this need. And I thought, well, maybe given that the Italians are the biggest ethnic group in Australia and in Victoria in particular, I said, how come there is no Italian lesbian group? And I saw the Yellow Kitties, the Greek lesbians, and I said, you know, we've got to do something about this because I'm damn proud of my culture, and I think we have a lot to share, and that's the reason behind it. And then with Lucy, we put our first ad in B News, and we went from there.
Excellent. This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Orange Ruben, and we have now with us Barry Strickland. Well, from what little research we have conducted, Barry is very much a behind-the-scene, a quiet celebrity of sort. He was an ABC Radio National broadcaster, and he was actually a screenwriter for the fabulous Flax Sisters, the, you know, the show, the act. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Let me put you on first.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So tell us, Barry, a little bit about the show that's coming up this weekend and, well, and your involvement.
Yeah, well, after we made the Fabulous Flag Sisters documentary a year and a half ago, the interest in the sisters was extraordinary, and lots of people were wanting to find out more and all of that bit. And, of course, Neil was keen to get back on stage, and Mauro back in Italy was also keen to get back on stage, and they had Ronnie Vandenberg, the former principal dancer with the WA Ballet, who they'd already started to work with on the act, replacing Tito Leduc, who is the flag sister who's in Diva Heaven at the moment, presiding up there, and I'm sure he is. So we thought, well, it's no point just doing an act as it used to be. You know, you've got a new person on board, you've got to recreate something new for our times. And in their first film, which basically translates as The Importance of Not Being Noticed, in one of the scenes in that film where they're playing three spies who dressed as women, who were opposed to three Russian female spies who dressed as men, there was a whole outrageous sequence in Importante where they were air hostesses.
Right.
And, of course, they were wearing the white, green and red colours of the Italian flag. And there's a fabulous scene filmed at Rome Airport. This film was made in 1979. Absolute hoot. If you can get hold of it, it's a riot to watch. Anyway, they're all dashing down the stairs of the aircraft in their hosties outfits. So we were sitting around a couple of months ago back in Perth, and we said, why don't we do something like Emirates? You know, why aren't you air hostesses? You know, we've got the recession. Why aren't you superannuated trolley dollies drawn back into service due to the financial crisis? You know, and so we invented an airline called Air Flag. And so Dorothy, Petula and Glenda, which were their names in this film that I've been referring to, we've used those names. So they are the names of the three hosties on this Air Flag flight 000 to just about everywhere.
So this is what we can look forward to.
This is what's happening on Saturday night. So we developed this show back in Perth. We've just had a sellout, outrageously successful three-night season, full theatre season in Perth, where people just couldn't get tickets. And it was like a love-in at the end of every night with stomping, cheering, dancing in the aisles. The whole thing. An extraordinary show.
So were you surprised by the positive reaction?
Oh, not at all. See, I think what Australians don't understand, that these guys in Italy were superstars. And I'm not using the term lightly. You just have to go back to Italy to film with these guys to know
how
famous they were.
Well, so the Joy listener understands. Just tell us, you know, what did they do in Italy? What involvement did they have with the media and television?
Well, essentially, Mauro, Tito and Neil had, and Neil will no doubt talk about this later on, but they had, they were all jobbing actors, and Mauro was classically trained, and Neil had trained in London at the Mount View Theatre School, and Tito was a dancer by training and worked at the Tropicana Club in Havana and with numerous contemporary dance companies in New York. You know, they were all professionals. Anyway, they got together. The state television in Italy was about to ban a very, very popular children's television advertising program called Carosello. And Carosello, in the old days of state television in Italy, was the only advertising program allowed on state television.
Okay.
And it was all done through short dramatic skits with product placement or comedy skits with product placement. So you had Sophia Loren and all the stars used to do these things. Anyway, they banned it. They said it was having a bad influence. So they developed a satirical show called Carousel 77. This was in 1977, in which they were satirising the banning of the show and all the products that were being advertised on it. So one of the products was Coca-Cola. So they thought, what will we do with Coca-Cola? Well, okay, let's do the Andrew Singer singing rum and Coca-Cola. So it's the only number in the entire show when the three of them got into frocks, because they weren't drag artists. Mm. They were literally straight actors, all of them.
So they have never they have not done this on a usual basis?
Nothing at all. And so one night in the one number in the show where they're all in drag, being the Andrews sisters, a very famous television producer who's still mega famous in Italy, Renzo Arbore, he had a new show called L'Otra Domenica, The Other Sunday. And he came to see the show. He went backstage and said, guys, I've got to have you for my new television program. And so that's what happened. They, you know, they looked at each other and said, what on drag on Italian television? That'll be the end of our careers. Anyway, they went and did the sigla, the opening theme for L'Otra Domenica, and they became literally an overnight sensation. That was the beginning of 15 years of absolute stardom. So they made their own movies, they did their own touring shows, they appeared on the covers of every magazine. They literally became super famous.
How did the church in Italy have handle three men dressed in dresses and
They had a movie that was banned, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Il Popolo, that was with Isabella Rossellini and Roberto Benigni, and Renzo Arbore wrote and directed it, etc. And it was about the L'Otra Domenica team being invited by the Vatican to go into the Vatican to establish a television Vaticano to sell the Vatican to the youth, to the masses. Mm. And so it was a very satirical piece, and of course it caused eyebrows to be raised when it was released. It lasted on screens for 10 days and it was banned. The Vatican didn't ban it because actually there is no state religion. Catholicism is not the religion of Italy. There is no state religion in Italy. But the church put such influence on the government of the day to have it banned, and it wasn't unbanned until 1998.
Really?
So it's now available on, I think it's on DVD now, I'm not quite sure, but it's a fabulous film.
Do you think usually when things get banned, that makes them even more popular?
Oh, yes, yeah. And I think the whole appeal of Le Sorelle Bandiera, the Flag Sisters, is through their signature song, Fatti Pilar, which means shove off. And very early on the piece, when they made that song famous on Italian television, the notion of telling someone to shove off became a political slogan, and all the political parties were using the song to their own ends across Italy. And so you would go through rural Italy and you'd see a poster with the Flag Sisters in their frocks but without their heads, with the political figures superimposed where their faces were. So they became a political tool during the turbulent 70s and 80s. It's a very complex story, actually.
Now, given the positive response to the fabulous Flag Sisters, do you guys plan to tour?
Oh, look, I think Neil and Mauro and Ronnie would love to tour and love to see opportunities of, you know, doing Mardi Gras and Midsummer and Feast in Adelaide. But the thing is, their appeal is hugely mainstream. The three nights we've just done in Perth, it was a mainstream mum and dad's audience. And it is just fun, you know, basically. There are no messages. It's just the joy of performing.
But why limit to Mardi Gras, you know, when you can go a bit more, even bigger?
Oh, yes, indeed. So, yeah, we'd be very keen to explore those opportunities. It's a great show. What we'll see here in Melbourne this weekend is different from the pure theatrical show, because we've got a different setup and a different function for the evening. So it'll be more of a relaxed cabaret-style performance as opposed to a theatre show.
Now, unfortunately, this weekend sold out, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Well, this is what happens.
Because it's sold out, are they thinking about maybe doing something else in Melbourne?
Not this time, but they'd be very happy to come back and do something if the opportunity arises. So if anyone out there listening wants to buy the show, we can assure you that if you buy the show, you'll sell it out and you'll make lots of money.
Mm, that's a good selling point here.
It is. It is.
Like in the show, unshamefully.
This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh, and I'm really, really proud to say we have the Flack sisters in the studio now. Welcome to Joy.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you both for inviting us here. Apart from being in Melbourne, we're very happy to be in Melbourne.
Apart from being in cold Melbourne.
It's a bit cool, but however, it's a wonderful feel of a big international city and sophisticated.
It is.
And now the song we just heard has a lot of history for you guys. Tell us about that.
Well, this song called L'Altra Domenica, which means The Other Sunday, was the first theme song that we did on Italian television. And it was actually taken from one of our shows, a show that we wrote and put together in Rome, and it was called Off Off Rome, this little cabaret theatre, which is in a gay club called Alibi, which was upstairs, but downstairs they had a separate cabaret theatre.
Right.
And that's where we put the show on, and it was a send-up of all Italian TV commercials. So
okay.
Each number was a product. And we chose Coca-Cola and the Andrews sisters singing, drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And the television people saw this, asked us if we would do it on this brand-new Sunday program, which was a very important program. And they changed the lyrics into L'Altra Domenica. And that was the beginning of our whole career as Le Sorelle Bandiere, or the Flag Sisters.
Now that was in the 70s, right? Late 70s. And, you know, to come on television, dress up in women's frocks and hair and makeup, did you worry that could be a career suicide in terms of showbiz?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because the show that we put together was the three of us, Mauro, Tito and myself, two young dancers who are just absolutely fabulous, female dancers, and two older women who were ex-soubrettes, who were big, big and old, but they were funny and they could do everything. They could sing, they could tap dance, they could act, they could do the lot. And there was only one number that the three of us did together in drag, which was this send-up number, was that one number. And that one number was the one that the TV people came to see, and therefore asked us if we would do it on television for this new Sunday program. And we did talk between ourselves saying, oh, my God, if we go on Italian television in drag, that will be the end of our careers.
Mm.
But actors always need money, so we went ahead with it and did it, and the rest is history.
Now, you originally come from Western Australia, don't you?
Yeah, born in Perth.
So how did a Perth boy end up in Italy dressed in a frock?
I didn't go straight from Perth to Italy. I went to London to drama school originally, and when I finished drama school, I went for a holiday to Italy. And Venice has always been, there were two cities, Paris and Venice were the two cities that I've always dreamed of.
Mm.
I'd been to Paris a couple of times, and I went to Venice as soon as I'd finished drama school, and I just loved it desperately.
It's beautiful cities.
And I just wanted to stay there. The whole life was different, the lifestyle, the way people lived.
Mm.
And I just wanted to be part of it. So I had to put aside the any acting aspirations and went back to my art school days, and I was doing portraits in the piazza and selling watercolours.
Oh, okay.
That must have been quite a poor time at the time. What about Mauro? What did Mauro do, you know, before that?
Well, Mauro is a classical actor as well. He'd worked in the theatre all his life. And when we got together, we all had this love of musicals, especially Hollywood-style musicals. And that's how the three of us got together and wrote this show and produced this show and put this show on in Rome. Yeah.
So what did your family think about you being in Italy and doing this drag show, I suppose, if you want to, for the want of a better word, and becoming famous in Italy?
Well, unfortunately, there's a sad story to that as well, because when we did this show, our theatre show, which had a huge success, we had everybody come to see us, from Federico Fellini to Armani, Sophie Loren, I mean, Ursula Andress, whoever you could imagine, because it became this really little show that was, it had a huge, huge success. when we were asked to film this, the theme song for the Sunday program, we did it. And just after that, my father died, so I had to return to Perth, and I was there for 3 months. But in the meantime, this Sigler, as they call it, or the theme song, it was at the beginning of the show and the end of the show. It was 4 hours of television on a Sunday, lunchtime.
Ricordati che era una trasmissione che andava in onda tutte le domeniche alle due di pomeriggio, quando le famiglie erano ancora riunite davanti ai piatti, no? Ancora stavano mangiando il pranzo. E i bambini sono stati quelli che hanno decretato il nostro successo, perché si sono divertiti subito vedendo questi tre personaggi talmente, delle donne talmente poco credibili, perché eravamo talmente orrendi con quelle parrucche parate in testa che
This program went on television at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. In the afternoon, when all the Italian families were sitting in front of television.
So at the siesta time.
At home, in front of the big plates of pasta and whatever else, and the children. And the children actually became our biggest fans. And they, if their mothers see their children having a ball and killing themselves laughing and loved us, therefore...
They're happy.
They're happy. So anyway, that's...
Joy 94....
Oh, sorry.
That's a very important part of how we became so popular.
Okay.
But anyway, when I was away for the 3 months that I came home after my father died to stay with my mother and two sisters, that Sigler, or that theme song, was on television every Sunday for 3 months. So I didn't know what was happening, basically. So when I went back to Italy, we were already famous.
Right.
So it all happened while
I was
away.
So you were becoming famous in Italy and you didn't know a thing
about it.
Basically,
yeah. And okay. So my father never knew anything about it.
Which is a shame, really.
Exactly. However, my mother and my sisters knew all about it because they came to Italy at the height of our careers when we were doing the film L'Importante Non Farsi Notare. They had everything. They had the chauffeur pick them up and... treated like, the mothers and sisters of stars.
Okay, don't go away. We'll come back. This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh, and we have the fabulous Flag Sisters with us tonight. Now, before the music started, tell us about the music first.
Well, I think Maura might be able to tell you about this music, the song we've just sung, and then I'll go back to the other sequel.
That's good.
So, Maura, ci racconti chi ha cantato questo?
Beh, Renato Zero è un simbolo in Italia, è stato il primo trasgressivo proprio. Mi ricordo che quando ancora non era famoso, quando ancora non cantava queste canzoni...
He was a symbol in Italy, Renato Zero, very, very famous in Italy, the first transgressive singer, basically, in Italy.
Lo si poteva incontrare per la strada con delle vestaglie di chiffon bordate di boa di struzzo.
Because you could meet him on the street before he came famous, because he was so outrageous anyway, he'd be wearing chiffon dresses with boas and and everything else, yeah.
Sì, e faceva fermare veramente tutta Roma.
And the whole of Rome stopped whenever he walked through the piazza.
Poi improvvisamente ha avuto veramente fortuna, perché i testi delle canzoni sono i suoi e sono veramente bellissimi.
And then he was very lucky to have the great fortune of writing some beautiful music, and the lyrics were his, very poetic, and suddenly from being this mad, crazy person walking around Rome, he became a star.
So, excellent.
As things happen in Italy.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, on a more light note, you guys have actually hosted Miss Italy.
Well, at the height of our careers, we were asked to do everything and anything, and one of them was... hosting the Miss Italy. We did it for 2 years, actually.
2 years in a row?
2 years in a row, hosting Miss Italy. And I remember, and we always put ourselves in the middle of it as well, like we did the catwalk as well with the girls.
The swimsuit round as
Except
well.
Tito, who was much older than us, was Miss Italy 1920. I was Mauro's Miss Italy 1940, and I was Miss Italy 1960. So we'd come out in the middle of the girls, And one of the judges said, finally, we've got some girls without any cellulite. Because we're wearing the famous body stocking.
Okay. The famous body stocking, what's that?
Well, it's a lycra skin color body stocking, which you tie yourself
hates
into,
everything.
which is wonderful because we're very hairy as well.
Mm.
So there's nothing worse than shaving all over the whole time. I don't know how all the bodybuilders do it, but anyway, the body stocking does wonders because it just sort of holds everything in.
Covers up a multitude of sins.
And after the Miss Italy, for example, another one of the invites we had was for Giorgio Armani's 50th birthday.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Which we did in his atelier in Milano, and that was, I mean, an event that you can't imagine. The whole, it's apart from that, it's a beautiful period palace where his atelier is. It was all lined with gold silk.
My goodness.
With sparkled glitter everywhere. And he'd made all these cushions out of his tones of colours, you know, the beiges and the creams and the whatever else strewn all over the floor, and we did the actual show for him. We were the entertainment, and then afterwards had this huge big birthday cake, and we stayed up till 5 or 6 in the morning with Giorgio and the three of us and a couple of other people. So
did you travel all over Italy with the show?
Well, for 2 years we toured non-stop, almost every night. A different place. Sometimes there were theatres, sometimes there were piazzas, sometimes there were television shows.
Mm.
But we probably spent about 3 days a month back in Rome to throw off our dirty washing and then move on again. And we were continually buying clothes the whole time.
Because of course, by the time you could afford it quite easily.
Well, finally, yes, we could. I mean, we never became sort of billionaires by any means, but at least compared to starving actors, yes, we could afford to buy a few undies.
Tell us about the paparazzis in those days. What were they like?
The paparazzi back then were, obviously, they wanted to see us whenever they saw us going out with anyone.
Mm.
We've been married off about 15 times to different people. Whoever you went out with, that was it. So there's some lovely music happening here as well.
Someone's mobile phone.
Somebody's mobile phone. But anyway, not like they are now. I mean, they hound you. I mean, it wasn't as bad. However, we were in every gossip magazine every week, of course.
I paparazzi ci volevano per forza farci sposare.
What did he say?
He said, Mauro's saying, the paparazzi wanted at all costs to get us married off. That's how they'd sell the magazine, you see. If one of the Sorelle Bandiere was getting married.
Cercavano in ogni maniera di appiopparci l'ultima starlet per lanciarla, anche perché eravamo diventati famosissimi con il secondo brano, non con l'altra domenica, ma con un brano che si chiamava Fatti più in là, che veramente era diventato quasi un inno.
As Mauro was saying that a lot of the paparazzi and the different managers with some of the starlets were only too glad to try and get them married off to us because it meant publicity for them. So they were always hanging around us, you know, so that they could, a stepping stone for them. And then Mauro's also mentioning the fact that the L'altra Domenica, which you heard earlier on, was our first number, but the song that made us famous was called Fatti più in là, which means shove off, basically. And that became a super, super hit, and they're still playing it today. It's an Italian evergreen.
And will be played at weddings as well these days?
I'm sure. Now, God, it'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Do you still all live in Italy? Or have
Mauro,
you
no, Mauro still lives in Italy. He lives in Spoleto, which is a beautiful town in Umbria, and it's the home of the Festival of Two Worlds, or the Festival dei Due Mondi. One of the most important festivals in Italy, with some of the best theatre, opera, ballet that the world has to offer. I live back in Perth now, and Tito is no longer with us. However, we now have Ronnie Vandenberg, who is the ex-principal dancer of the West Australian Ballet Company.
Okay.
And how did you find him?
Well, through friends of friends, like Tito, Mauro and I have found each other, you know. I mean, and it turned out that the three of us had the same agent.
Like
so,
faith.
Yeah. So
how easy was it after one of your members died bringing in somebody new and doing the act again.
And was it immediately, you know, like a short span of time?
It was so much easier in one way because Tito had already stopped working as the bandiera. I mean, he was 25 years older than I was when we started. So he'd decided to, not work in show business anymore. So we'd already split up and did our own things. And it was only after this documentary that we decided to get back together again because Cinzia called us and asked us, she desperately wanted to have us live. So that's how it...
And that just coincided with the Fabulous Flag Sister, isn't it?
After the Fabulous Flag Sister documentary.
Yes.
Done by an Australian company of all places. In fact, a huge success in Italy. We won the Rome Fiction Fest, which is the best documentary. And that was on an international level, in this huge, huge number in Rome. And Mauro went to pick up the prize.
How big is your following in Australia, do you know?
Well, basically, we have no following in Australia, apart from a few Italians that were there in the 70s and 80s.
Mm.
But most of the Italians here came here a lot earlier than that, so would not really know us. So we're new.
Right. So do you hope to actually establish the Flag Sisters in Australia and maybe get similar success as you had in Italy?
Well, we've just come from Fremantle, which is the port of Perth, those who don't know Fremantle. And we did the show, the live show. We played the documentary first and then the live show 30 years later with a success that even we could not understand. Admittedly, we've worked for 3 months. 3 months doing this thing, you know. Costumes. Malda's been at the sewing machine for 3 months sewing the new costumes.
Wow! 3 months.
Si ho dovuto cucire, ma non pensate che sia stato facile rimettersi sui tacchi a spillo, ragazzi.
Yes, he had to sew, but it also wasn't very easy to get back into the high heels. Especially the knees aren't quite as strong as they used to be.
Dopo 20 anni siamo un po' arrugginiti, non ci abbiamo più la sveltezza di quella volta. Quindi è stato molto faticoso anche per ricominciare. Per colpa di Cinzia questa avventura. Speriamo che abbia un buon fine. Per ora lo abbiamo avuto a Fremantle. Adesso ascolteremo, spero, gli applausi di Melbourne.
Well, as Mauro was saying, it was very difficult to get back into the high heels because we're a bit rusty. However, after 3 months of rehearsing, we did do that for. It turned into a full-on show, and after the success we had in Fremantle, I mean, it's hard to follow. I mean, I hoped it would happen, but I could not believe it. It was just the audience loves it even now, and they don't even know who we are, you know.
So, do you guys currently have an agent to promote the show actively?
No, we haven't got an agent because, as I said, it all happened by accident. So.
It seems to happen that way in your life.
Yes, it does. It's fate.
So what can the Melbourne audience look forward to this weekend?
Well, that's what Mauro was saying. He just hopes the Melbourne audience loves it. We've decided, even though it's not the theatre, it's a party that we're doing.
Mm.
But instead of cutting the show down and bringing over a smaller version, we've brought the whole lot. So we are going to put on the whole show, two acts, with everything in it. So we will... You know, get over that hurdle when we see the theatre and the technical problems.
How long is the show?
It's an hour.
1 hour.
And would you call it a cabaret? What do you call it?
Well, it's a theatre show, basically.
It's a theatre show.
Cabaret, yes. It's light entertainment, but spectacular.
Hmm. So it's not your average drag show, as we would call it.
It's got nothing to do with a drag show. I mean, we are three professional... I love drag shows.
Mm-hmm.
We are three actors. I mean, Ronnie's a professional dancer. I would liken it to anyone who's done drag in the cinema, for example. Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon at the beginning with Some Like It Hot. Dustin Hoffman with Tootsie. Or John Travolta. I mean, you're playing the part. And because it's a trio, we've always played three different parts of three different... But we're in our own right. We are the Flag Sisters, so therefore each sister has their own personality.
When you sing, is it just in Italian, or do you do a mixture of English-Italian?
No, it's a mixture of English and Italian.
So you, the
audience we always have, even in Italy, when we did our major shows, and we were playing in some of the major opera houses in all over the country, including Bari, which was the biggest, well, they've rebuilt it now, it burnt down, but the biggest opera house in Europe, 3,000 people. So we were filling houses.
What about in Italy, after Australia, are you going back to Italy? Are you going to try and do the shows there again? Or?
Well, the documentary was taken on board by Fox Italy, and they held a huge premiere and flew me back to Italy to be part of this opening night and also to dub my voice into Italian.
Mm.
And, yes, it was huge then. They're still playing. It's been going non-stop, so there's been a lot of interest, and we're probably going back this summer to do the Spoleto Summer Festival in Mauro's hometown, which is a very prestigious place to do anything because it's just wonderful. So, yes, things seem to be opening up in Italy as well.
And just very quickly, when Cinzia and Arcelipska approached you guys, did you guys jump on board or was there some hesitation?
Well, no, I was willing to jump on board, but as I said to Cinzia, well, it's very difficult to have us live. Mauro lives in Italy. I live in Perth.
Yes.
You know, you're in Melbourne just for a party. So I think she's been incredible that she's managed to get this all together because luckily Mauro was here for Christmas.
Oh, like fate again.
Excellent. Well, I think Melbourne's going to enjoy your show this weekend.
Well,
yes. And thank you for coming on to the show. And Mauro, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's On Driven for another week. Thank you to the Flag Sisters and all our guests this evening. Coming up is Simon and Paul. And
thank you, Nick, for the phone support.
Oh, yes, I was just about to say that, actually. And we've got Damien there as well. Once again, another great program on Orange Driven. We're back again next week at 7 p.m. Thank you, and thank you to the Flag Sisters.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Ciao.
Bye-bye. Ciao.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.